Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman, and we are continuing with our theme, Who's Going to Save the World? We're talking about the environment, climate change. It's Earth Week here in Chicago. And, of course, we just had a conversation about farming, agriculture on the local level and the local food movement, but also industrial agriculture and how it's expanded, and it's causing certain problems for climate change. And we have to really take a look at some of the things that are happening in that area before we can really have a real conversation about how to save the planet. One way to save the planet would be to bring agriculture to the urbanscape. And that's what we're going to talk about now here in the city of Chicago. We have a lot of urban farms that are popping up here and there, including Urban Growers Collective, which has 7 farms all over the Chicago area, and they partner with many more. A great organization that is not only bringing farming to communities that aren't used to it, but also help creating safe spaces. We went to a factory in South Chicago. Here's our story. It's a sunny afternoon on the southeast side of Chicago, specifically 89th Street and South Lakeshore Drive. The lake is a stone's throw away, and the Skyway Bridge hovers above like a concrete cliff, not to mention the old Southworks steel plant a few blocks up. It's the last place you would find a farm. Or is it? This is urban agriculture at its finest. What once was an empty city lot is now growing kale, forms of bok choy, and home to roosters and goats. Yep, goats. It's one of 7 farms run by Urban Growers Collective, an organization that's not only growing sustainable produce in the inner city, but also creating job opportunities for those inner city communities. Erica Allen has been a mainstay in the urban agriculture movement in Chicago.
I mean, for me, it's really around this idea that we are so disconnected from our food, and that if something happened, what would we do? Where would we? How would we feed ourselves, especially in our most vulnerable communities that don't have access to full-service grocery stores or the knowledge of how to grow food? And also taking into account that there is a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of spaces like this that people can really come out and grow food and, you know, take care of themselves and their family and earn money.
And it's beyond just the idea that I think a lot of people have heard about when it comes to food deserts and nutrition in areas that may be affected by poverty. It's beyond that, because as you just mentioned, the ability to create safe spaces is something that rarely gets talked about when you talk about malnutrition or the lack of resources in communities.
Correct. So this idea of shifting our consciousness from food desert to food apartheid. So this idea that we sort of assume when we have some privilege that everyone kind of has access. We know people are poor or have less than us, and people have more than us. But this idea that people really, within their, you know, like within walking distance, within even driving distance, that there's not a full service grocery store, that there's not green verdant spaces, or those spaces are not safe because of conflict that's happening around, you know, gun misuse. I mean, these are things that, you know, that are becoming more, I think people across the city are aware of this, but this is something we've been working on for years, and know that when we create spaces like this, even if they're small, even if they're little pocket gardens, that we impact, there's rings of safety that kind of permeate when youth can come and they can feel safe and they can be creative and let their guard down. They're forming different relationships with themselves, with, you know, their peers, with neighbors, and then of course, like, with the earth.
Allen doesn't have a background in farming. She actually went to the School of the Art Institute and practiced art therapy. On first glance, you would think that that education wouldn't apply, but Erica is using her skills to build a safe, creative space.
This is my work as an artist, so I made a kind of a departure from the traditional studio artist life into really wanting to be a social justice artist. So I'm doing collaborative murals, doing place-based, land-based work that also impacts these larger social issues was something that was of great interest to me as an artist. I have a studio practice, but it's my studio practice, right? It's not, when I make art in my studio, it doesn't impact the world. When we do projects like this, especially creative people, we impact policy. We impact how people see themselves within an environment, and that, to me, is always very interesting. And I also, as a therapist, really wanted to really impact the kind of you know, the challenges that a lot of the youth and families that I was working with when I first finished my master's around, like, stressors. Like, if you can't pay your bills and you don't have food to feed and you might get evicted, that's really stressful. That you're going to be kind of depressed. You may not be making healthy choices because of that. So what can I do, given my privilege and my education, to impact that?
The business model is pretty simple. Create the safe space for the community, grow food for the community, and sell that food to the community. They have a bus that makes rounds all year to deliver fresh produce. But not unlike larger rural farms, it is a challenge to make ends meet. Laurel Sims is the co-founder and CEO of Finance for Urban Growers.
It's definitely a balance. For folks who are really passionate about it, they can definitely grow enough food and be able to sell it and make enough money. Like, they're never going to become rich superstars, but they're definitely going to make enough to sustain themselves. One of the things I like about the program and that we do through Farmers for Chicago and even our teen programs is just learning the entrepreneurial skills behind farming. So even if it's not something you want to do full time, you can always grow some herbs and make tea. And sell that as a product that helps supplement your income. You know, there's different types of passion products that you can do that aren't full-time, but definitely, I think, will, you know, you can get your passion and you can make a little money off of them. So I think it's a range.
When you look around the sprawling plot of city land, you see a handful of young men pushing wheelbarrows and digging shovels into the dirt. They're part of a job training portion of Urban Growers, and most of them have never been on a farm, let alone planted their own food. The farm leader, Malcolm Evans, was one of those kids.
I grew up in Cabrini Green Food Desert neighborhood, and they was installing a community garden in my neighborhood. And at that time, it was just trying to figure out what to do or where it could be safe at. So me and my brothers and friends went over to this garden that they was installing and just started helping out, being engaged, and I just stuck with it.
What did you know about it at that point? When you went over there to the garden, did you know how to grow food?
When I went over to the garden, I didn't know nothing about food, vegetables, or where it came from. I thought everything just came at the grocery store.
If you look back on that experience, you know, as I see you, as we're doing the interviews, I see you, you're in charge, you're the farm leader, you're the guy who's putting this stuff in. Does it blow your mind that you've gone in such a short amount of time from knowing nothing to pretty much knowing everything?
It do. It definitely blows my mind, but it's just like, it's like a patience thing. It's just like being humble and like following your goals. Like, at that time, I'm 10 years old. I ain't really got my mind made up to I want to be a farmer. You know, most people want to fire police officers. And it was just, like, just meeting Erica, just being inspired, like, all the stuff that she's doing and her being more like a mother to me than a manager kind of, like, kept me sticking with her. And she told me when I was young, like, follow your dream. Like, if you like doing it, stick around. Like, doing this type of work, you can either, like, for me, like, love it or hate it. And I'm like, I was young. I'm like 10, 11 years old. I'm going to school, getting out of school, like playing in the dirt, you know, messing around with compost worms and just seeing tomatoes grow. And I'm just like, just kept it going. Like, didn't stop. Just kept going and kept going. You know, I went to Wells and graduated and just came straight full time here. And now I'm a farm manager for all the farms and do different programs.
Now Malcolm leads the crew, telling him where to go, what to do next. One of the crew members is Jeremiah. Jeremiah just got out of jail for robbery.
It's a good experience. Like, I've been learning a whole lot and getting myself together.
Is it important for you to get it together? I mean, does this help you?
Yes, a lot.
Yeah? How so?
Just staying out of trouble, to be honest.
Yeah?
And keeping my head on straight.
We talked to Erica, we talked to Malcolm and others about this being a safe space.
Yeah.
And it's important for this space is laid out that way to be space. How do you see it?
The same way. I see it as a safe place for people just to, you know, relax their mind and just, you know, just do work, you know. Just be humble about a lot of things. You know?
I would assume it'd be hard. It'd be easy to go back.
Yeah.
You know, like it'd be easy to go back to the streets as opposed to showing up here. And and working in dirt and working and doing the wheelbarrow, so you're going back and forth. Yeah. So what keeps you coming here?
The people that I work with, basically, like the people that I work with, and they keep me coming back. You know, just because they, you know, keep me on my toes or whatever, and they've been through the same thing I've been through. So you know, I just want to continue coming. That's what made me come here.
Do you see yourself as you learn the skills and you learn how to grow? And do you see yourself having a career in urban farming?
Yeah, I can see myself doing this.
This is just one of the farms that Erica Allen and Urban Growers is involved in. She's a pioneer in recognizing that urban agriculture is more than just tomatoes and carrots. The farm is a special place.
This is public health. It's important to all of us to have growers who have expertise, who can, you know, take care of our food needs, that we're not looking, you know, we can't grow all the food for everybody in Chicago, but we can certainly create these sort of like these safety points where we have people who are carrying that knowledge, who can are also taking care of themselves and their community, and how that creates safety in it. It's a very monetizable endeavor, you know, like if I can, this space here makes all this real estate around us valuable. It's beautiful, it's safe. Why wouldn't I want to live here? And if we think about that and investing in programs that create, you know, job training and restorative justice opportunities and food that makes all of us healthier, that's sort of the next level. How do you kind of magnify this? And I think we're kind of entering that space as a city.
Someday I'll be a farmer working the land. Wish I was a farmer to work with my hands, 'cause it's been too long a ride, too high the fare. Well, I built and climbed a mountain, but it wasn't there, and I've been looking all around, looked everywhere.
Urban Growers Collective, you can find them online. Of course, doing great work in 7 farms in Chicago and partnerships with many others. And keep looking for them in your community soon. All right, coming up, we are continuing our neighborhood tour. We're going to go to Little Village, and then we also are going to talk about innovations on the Chicago River. It's Extension 720 tonight on 720 WGN.